It was shown conclusively that life cannot arise spontaneously, but must come from pre-existing cells. The belief became known as the cell theory, and it is the basis of all modern biology. The cell has been compared to many things, from a complex chemical refinery, by the physicist James Treffel, to a vast teeming metropolis, the biochemist Guy Brown. A cell is both of those things, and neither. It is like a refinery in that it is devoted to chemical activity on a grand scale, and like a metropolis in that it is crowded and busy and filled with interactions that seem confused and random, but clearly have some system to them. But it is a much more nightmarish place than any city or factory that you have ever seen. To begin with, there is no up or down inside the cell. Gravity doesn't meaningfully apply at the cellular scale, and not an atom's width of space is unused. There is activity everywhere, and a ceaseless thrum of electrical energy. You may not feel terribly electrical, but you are. The food we eat and the oxygen we breathe are combined in the cells into electricity. And the reason we don't give each other massive shocks or scorch the sofa when we sit is that it is all happening on a tiny scale, a mere 0.1 volts traveling distances measured in nanometers. However, scale that up, and it would translate as a jolt of 20 million volts per meter, about the same as the charge carried by the main body of a thunderstorm. Whatever their size or shape, nearly all your cells are built to fundamentally the same plan. They have an outer casing, or membrane, a nucleus wherein resides the necessary genetic information to keep you going, and a busy space between the two called the cytoplasm. The membrane is not, as most of us imagine it, a durable rubbery casing, something that you would need a sharp pin to prick. Rather, it is made up of a type of fatty material known as a lipid, which has the approximate consistency of a light grade of machine oil, to quote Sherwin B. Newland. If that seems surprisingly insubstantial, bear in mind that at the microscopic level, things behave differently. To anything on a molecular scale, water becomes a kind of heavy-duty gel, and a lipid is like iron. If you could visit a cell, you wouldn't like it. Blown up to a scale at which atoms were about the size of peas, a cell itself would be a sphere roughly half a mile across, and supported by a complex framework of girders called the cytoskeleton. Within it, millions upon millions of objects, some the size of basketballs, others the size of cars, would whiz about like bullets. There wouldn't be a place you could stand without being pummeled and ripped thousands of times every second from every direction. Even for its full-time occupants, the inside of a cell is a hazardous place. Each strand of DNA is on average attacked or damaged once every 8.4 seconds, 10,000 times in a day, by chemicals and other agents that whack into or carelessly slice through it, and each of these wounds must be swiftly stitched up if the cell is not to perish. The proteins are especially lively, spinning, pulsating, and flying into each other up to a billion times a second. Enzymes, themselves a type of protein, dash everywhere, performing up to 1,000 tasks a second. Like greatly speeded-up worker ants, they busily build and rebuild molecules, hauling a piece off this one, adding a piece to that one. Some monitor passing proteins and mark with a chemical those that are irreparably damaged or flawed. Once so selected, the doomed proteins proceed to a structure called a proteasome, where they are stripped down and their components used to build new proteins. Some types of protein exist for less than half an hour. Others survive for weeks. But all lead existences that are inconceivably frenzied. As de Duve notes, the molecular world must necessarily remain entirely beyond the powers of our imagination, owing to the incredible speed with which things happen in it. But slow things down to a speed at which the interactions can be observed, and things don't seem quite so unnerving. You can see that a cell is just millions of objects. Lysosomes, endosomes, ribosomes, ligands, peroxisomes, proteins of every size and shape, bumping into millions of other objects and performing mundane tasks. Extracting energy from nutrients, assembling structures, getting rid of waste, warding off intruders, sending and receiving messages, making repairs. Typically, a cell will contain some 20,000 different types of protein. Out of these, about 2,000 types will each be represented by at least 50,000 molecules. This means, says Newland, that even if we count only those molecules present in amounts of more than 50,000 each, the total is still a very minimum of 100 million protein molecules in each cell. Such a staggering figure gives some idea of a swarming immensity of biochemical activity within us. It is all an immensely demanding process. Your heart must pump 75 gallons of blood an hour, 1,800 gallons every day, 657,000 gallons in a year. That's enough to fill four Olympic-sized swimming pools to keep all those cells freshly oxygenated. And that's at rest. During exercise, the rate can increase as much as sixfold. The oxygen is taken up by the mitochondria. These are the cell's power stations, and there are about 1,000 of them in a typical cell, though the number varies considerably depending on what a cell does and how much energy it requires. You may recall from an earlier chapter that the mitochondria are thought to have originated as captive bacteria, and that they now live essentially as lodgers in our cells, preserving their own genetic instructions, dividing to their own timetable, speaking their own language. You may also recall that we are at the mercy of their goodwill. Here's why. Virtually all the food and oxygen you take into your body are delivered, after processing, to the mitochondria, where they are converted into a molecule called adenosine triphosphate, or ATP. You may not have heard of ATP, but it is what keeps you going. ATP molecules are essentially little battery packs that move through the cell, providing energy for all the cell's processes, and you get through a lot of it. At any given moment, a typical cell in your body will have about 1 billion ATP molecules in it, and in 2 minutes, every one of them will have been drained dry, and another billion will have taken their place. Every day you produce and use up a volume of ATP equivalent to about half your body weight. Feel the warmth of your skin. That's your ATP at work. When cells are no longer needed, they die with what can only be called great dignity. They take down all the struts and buttresses that hold them together and quietly devour their component parts.